Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show. For the next couple of days, I'm going to be doing a series called Hope and the Promises of God. Now, there are a lot of promises. Let me tell you right from the onset, I have done whole radio shows on some of these promises. I will do other whole radio shows on others that I haven't gotten to yet. So you need to view this as kind of an overview. If I'm leaving you wanting for more information and more detail, then probably there's another Bob Siegel Show that you can listen to that will supply it. And I will peg and flag a few of them, letting you know about them. What I'm going to do first, though, is read every promise that we have. Well, I say every promise. The Bible's filled with promises. These are big ones, key ones, ones that came to my mind. If you've been a Christian for any length of time and you're listening right now, I'm sure you can think of a few that I left out. I do think I've got the most crucial, the most important, but what do I know? You probably thought of one even more important. Well, not more important than salvation, and that's the first. Let me first read every one of them. We won't comment on all of them today. And like I said, I have other radio shows that comment in detail, but it is my purpose over the next few days to comment on every one of these at least a little bit. But first, I'm going to just list them without commenting on them at all. The promises of God, salvation to all who accept Christ. Those are really controversial words to people. There's a lot of people going, what are you talking about? Why should I have to accept Christ to be saved? Okay. But anyway, if you're willing, if you're interested, there is salvation to all who accept Christ. That is a promise. Very related to that, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, promises to come and indwell all who have accepted Christ, offering a personal relationship with God. Along with the Holy Spirit, signs and wonders are given to the church. Now, this is something very controversial, and I'm not saying that every Christian experiences the same signs and wonders in their lives, but signs and wonders are given to the church. The church is not a building. The church is the people. It's another way of saying signs and wonders are given to the assembly of Christians. Related to this promise is spiritual gifts. We all receive at least one, maybe more gift from God, but they are distributed according to His will. He decides what gifts we get. Here's one that's very important. We will never be tempted beyond what we can bear. More on that, more on all of these. Here's another one. God gives us a peace that passes all understanding. That's interesting. Promise number 7, God will never forsake us. Promise number 8, and this is something Christians argue about, but I can prove it from the Bible. Followers of Christ cannot lose their salvation. Promise number 9, deliverance from the demonic. Yes, there is a demonic world. There are demonic spirits. They actually exist. But if you are a Christian and demons are messing with your life, or if you're not a Christian and you want to get rid of some demons and give your life to Christ, I'm not saying everybody that isn't a Christian has demons, but some of them are. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, if demons are messing with your life, there's a promise that you can be delivered from them. The next promise, answers to prayer with some stipulations that we'll discuss. Promise number 11, in times of persecution, God will give us courage. Promise number 12, there is a promise of Christ's return. Now watch out for all those wackos that are going to try to tell you when it happens, but there is a promise that it will happen someday. And so of course, promise number 13, related to that, we do not know the day or the hour of His return. The next promise you're not going to like. Most of them sounded pretty good up to now, didn't they? But God does promise some things that He knows we're not going to like. They're necessary. They're for our good, but we're not going to like them. Okay, no more suspense. Promise of trials. When you give your life to Christ, that doesn't mean every trial in life is over. You will experience trials. But you'll like the next promise better, because promise number 15, there's a promise that the trials will eventually end. Well, that's good news. Promise number 16, nothing can happen in your life without God allowing it. Now, that doesn't mean that God causes it. That doesn't mean it's even God's will for it to happen. But God allows human beings to do a lot of things with their free wills. Nevertheless, no circumstance, whether good, whether bad, could happen unless God at least allows it. I find that comforting, because I like a God who is in control of the universe. That doesn't mean, once again, that he's superseding our free will, but control in the sense that nothing can happen without his permission. Here's one that comes up a lot. What if a baby dies without accepting Christ? If babies die as babies, they will go to heaven. That does not take away from the sadness and utter horror and tragedy of a loved one being lost, but there is at least the comfort that if babies die, we can know where they are, and they're in a good place. Here's one, and this one I did talk about just recently, just a couple of weeks ago. Sincere ignorance is taken into consideration. So this one isn't just about the baby. What if some adult is living in some part of the world and they never heard of Jesus Christ? Well, there's a passage in Scripture that tells us God will take ignorance into consideration. I wish we had more detail, but we do know a little bit about this. Healing, supernatural healing from diseases. This is something that comes up often in discussion, and there are some healing promises. Again, that's one I'll need to do an entire show on, but there are times God heals people. There are times God doesn't heal people. There are promises related to the kind of healing he will do, the kind of healing where we don't necessarily have a guarantee, but it might happen. Whole subject in its own right. Okay, so now that I've read all the promises and told you what they are, let's go through and talk with a little more detail. I'm going to do a few today, a few more tomorrow, and so forth. Promise number one, salvation to all who accept Christ. The Bible teaches that all of us are born with a sinful nature. Sin is one of those religious words that Christians don't take enough time to discuss or define. I think it's very important to define our terminology. The Bible defines sin as selfishness, not positive self-esteem, but the kind of selfishness that says, I'm always looking out for number one, me. The kind of selfishness where we are making decisions, sometimes at other people's expense. And even if we're not doing that through our actions, we have all kinds of selfish thoughts inside. As a matter of fact, anything in the Bible that's listed as a sin, I could show you how it's selfish. I'll give you a real obvious example. The Bible says, do not steal. Well, if you care about somebody, Jesus said, as you would have people treat you, treat them. This fulfills the law and the prophets. Well, if sin is a violation of God's law and the summation of God's law is to treat people, we always call that the golden rule, treat people the way you would want to be treated. Well, then if somebody says, why is this a sin or that a sin? All I have to do is show them why it's selfish. Do not steal. Well, if you're treating somebody else the way you want to be treated, you wouldn't want somebody stealing from you. Do not commit adultery. Would you want your spouse sleeping around behind your back? Well, then you don't do that to somebody else and their spouse. Do not murder. That's one that's so obvious. You don't want to get murdered, do you? So don't murder. Now, there are some a little more nuanced than that where you have to connect the dots a little more, but I can take anything in the Bible that's called a sin and show a person how it is selfish. And since your own conscience condemns your own selfishness, people actually agree. Sometimes you have to dig a little bit and show them they agree, but people actually agree on sin. Now, what God did to forgive sin is he became a man at a certain time in history. He called himself Jesus, and on the cross, in some metaphysical way that we do not understand, he paid for our sins. So what is our response? What is expected of us? Very little, but there is something expected. John chapter 1, and I'm starting with verse 12, and I'm going to read on to verse 13. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. But let me talk first of all about this thing, children of God. You're always hearing people say, well, we're all God's children. That's not exactly true. We're all God's creation. God loves all of us. God would like all of us to become his children. He offers to adopt us as his children. We're in this orphanage right now, this spiritual orphanage. If you want to become God's child, you can, but you do that by receiving Christ. When the Spirit of God, and that's our next promise that we're going to look at, when the Spirit of God comes into your heart, you become a born-again Christian. It's called born-again because you have become a child of God. Now, the word believe, there's a lot of confusion about that, and here I do want want to point you to a radio show, a series of three radio shows that I did a few weeks ago, but I'll tell you the date and title of the first one. You want to listen to a program of mine called The False Gospel, which far too many Christians preach. The date for that is June 23rd. Go to cgmradio.com/Bob. That's cgmradio.com/Bob. There you can just subscribe and get all my programs every day. But even the back ones, they're all listed. They'll all come to you. If you don't want to subscribe, just go to the CGM website and you can play that program. So much more detail there than I'm going to give you here. But let me, by way of reminder right now, say that the word believe in Greek meant something very different than what we talk about today. It included obedience. It included believing something so strongly that you trusted in it, relied upon it, adhered to it. They're not saying that if you just happen to believe in Jesus, then you're automatically going to go into heaven. They are saying that you have to make a decision to obey Jesus. Now, we are incapable with our selfish nature of obeying him. We can try to. We'll fall flat on our faces. That's why it's not just about the forgiveness offered on the cross for our sins, where Jesus paid the penalty for our sins, our selfishness. He then offers to give the Holy Spirit, and that leads us to promise number two. The Holy Spirit is going to help us in our obedience. Luke chapter 11, verses 11 through 13. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And John 14, starting with verse 25 and moving on to verse 26, Jesus says, all this I have spoken while still with you. He's saying this at the Last Supper. He's giving his farewell address. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. My friends, the Bible says that God exists as three persons. Somehow these three persons make up one Godhead. So it's not a teaching in polytheism. It's not a teaching in three gods. We had in eternity past God the Father, God the Word, sometimes called God the Messenger, and God the Holy Spirit. That second person, God the Word, God the Messenger, he's the one who became a human being. He's now called God the Son in the sense that he was born miraculously through the Virgin Mary, and he gave up the power of God and the glory of God and the mind of God. And as a man, he lived in dependence upon God to be an example to us. And one of the things he did was he depended not only on the Father, who was in his original true form, and the Holy Spirit, who was in his original true form, but through the Holy Spirit, he did miracles. Through praying to the Father, he experienced answers to prayer. And then he said to his disciples, after I go, this same Holy Spirit, this same third person of the Godhead, will come and indwell you and help you in your life. Well, if you feel like I've just barely whet your appetite, it's because I have. Tune in tomorrow and we will talk more about these many wonderful promises of God. In the meantime, this is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.